You are listening to Prepare the Way of the Lord, an Advent devotional. To learn more, please visit us online at thenalc.org.
Our devotion for this second Sunday in Advent is from Luke chapter 7, beginning in the 28th verse. This is also a commemoration of Nicholas, Bishop of Myra. The passage from Luke chapter 7, Jesus is speaking. He says, I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. When all the people heard this, and the tax collectors too, they declared God just, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the purpose of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. To what then shall I compare the people of this generation, Jesus says, and what are they like? They are like the children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another. We played the flute for them, and they did not dance. We sang a dirge, and they did not weep. For John the Baptist has come eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say, he has a demon. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by all her children. Here ends our reading. John the Baptist played a significant role in preparing the way for the coming of Christ. He was the forerunner. He paved and prepared the way. He ushered in the beginning of what's often referred to as the Messianic Age. Functioning like much of the Old Testament prophets, he pointed beyond himself to the promised one who was to come. Of all people, it could easily be argued that no one who has ever lived has fulfilled their God-given role better than John. Among those born of women, Jesus says, there is no one greater. And yet Jesus goes on to say that the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. What is our Lord telling us? What he's telling us is that there is a major difference between life lived prior to Jesus and life lived fully in Jesus and within his kingdom. Prior to Jesus' appearance in this world, his life among us was a future promise. It had not yet happened. He had not yet appeared. The prophets spoke of him. The scriptures pointed to him, but his appearance had not yet taken place. But once it happened and he appeared, all of the promises found their fulfillment in him. Not only was his life a fulfillment of the promises, but in his life, he was the promise. Jesus was the Christ. Jesus was the one promised of old, the fulfillment to all of which the Old Testament prophets had pointed. The irony in this passage, as well as in the life of Jesus, was the fact that many of the common people, including those referred to as the tax collectors and sinners, regarded Jesus as the fulfillment that he was, while the religious leaders, the ones who knew the scriptures well, were the very ones who were unwilling to believe and to trust. Their trust was in themselves. Their faith is in what they wanted for themselves to be right. Their wisdom, as Jesus puts it, was only able to see as far as their personal and self-justifying concerns. No matter how it was presented, they consistently found fault. John the Baptist ate little and drank nothing alcoholic, and they claimed he had a demon. Jesus was willing to eat and to drink and to celebrate with the rest, and they called him a drunkard and a friend of sinners. No matter what happened, they would not accept it. No matter what was done and through whom it was done, it was never finally enough. Little did they know that Jesus' very reason for being born was to become the fulfillment of everything God had promised. Friend of sinners? Thank God he was. Willing to love the unlovable? We should be eternally grateful. All the way from heaven to this earth, all the way from the manger to the cross, nothing could stop the love of God in Jesus. Nothing could stand in the way of God's saving plan made real and fulfilled in Christ. The question for us today is one of where we place our trust and where and in whom we find our hope. If we find it in anything but God's saving plan and purpose in Christ, it is misguided. If we place it in anything other than what God has promised and fulfilled for us in Jesus, it will leave us empty. But if our hope is in Christ and our trust is in Him, then not only will we be wise in this world, but we will be eternally numbered among those considered by Jesus to be greater than John. Today, as we shared, is the commemoration of Nicholas, Bishop of Myra. Very little is known about his life, apart from his service as bishop, and the fact that he suffered torture and imprisonment during the persecution under the Emperor Diocletian. Tradition holds that he was a defender of orthodoxy against Arianism. According to one legend, he was censured by the Emperor Constantine after he dealt Arius a blow to the head during the Council of Nicaea. Nicholas was honored as a saint in Constantinople by the Emperor Justinian, who in 580 dedicated a church to him in that city. In England, since that time, almost 400 churches have been dedicated to Nicholas, perhaps more dedicated to him throughout the world than to any other saint. In modern times, he is most noted as a protector and benefactor of children. As with all the saints, Nicholas was willing to stand up for his faith and for his Lord. In spite of the sacrifices he made during his life, he found meaning for his life only as it was connected to Christ. May the same be said of us. May the same be found to be true in the life you and I live each day. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your saving plan promised and fulfilled in Jesus. Help us to be wise and to trust each day in what you have done and accomplished for us in him, in whose name we pray. Amen. For our Advent action or challenge, the challenge today is to spend 10 minutes in prayer, thanking God for the wisdom given to us in Jesus and for the fulfilled promise that belongs to us eternally in Christ. God's blessings to each of you on this holy day. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. The North American Lutheran Church is Christ-centered, mission-driven, traditionally grounded, and congregationally focused. The NALC is committed to the renewal of all of our congregations, working to develop and deliver resources that challenge and open the NALC to the work of the Holy Spirit in our mission and ministry. If you enjoy these podcasts, please take a moment to rate and review in the app you are using today. Your ratings and reviews help others find this resource. Thank you again.